The Volume.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Inside the Garage podcast. I'm Kyle Hamilton along with
KJ Wallace,
Bonner Radigan,
and Cam Hart. And this is episode 15 for the podcast. And we just want to start it off by just talking about how crazy of a ride it's been so far. We've still got a long way to go, but 15 episodes in right now. And it's just like we were just talking about how people will come up to us and be like, love the podcast. Like I probably hear that 10 times a game day. It's crazy how many people listen to it. I feel like it doesn't even resonate with me how many people actually listen to us talk for an hour, talk to four
on record,
young adults.
On record, I've never actually listened to a full one of our podcasts.
Yeah, we were talking about this. I listened to one.
I listened to our first one.
But we know what we talk about in the episode. Yeah, so.
True.
It's kind of weird. It's like episode 15. Like we do it once a week. That's like a long
time. Yeah, 15 weeks is a long time.
Yeah.
We did it through summer, bro.
15 weeks. Yeah.
Kind of crazy that, well, for me, it grew from like a playful idea and then an IL hitting. And then we get to the point that we are now. It's kind of crazy thing about like that. I'm like a podcaster.
Right.
I'm a podcaster.
When I think of podcasts, I think of like Joe Rogan.
But I think like Cam Hart.
When I know.
Podcast.
Like a job. It's like Sunday, I got to do the podcast.
Yeah.
Facts. You know? I woke up KJ. I was like, let's go get some money, bro.
So get the podcast. Like,
you're right. Let's go. It's dope though, to see people really mess with us. And I was just talking to this with my mom about this, but like every single media thing, interview that I've done, and like even the one that you did the other day with the Wapu Wednesday one, everybody asked about the podcast. It's like, how did it start? And I've told the story like 30 times. Like, it was a joke. No, it was a joke. Colin Cowherd called us and blah, 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 now we're here. And they're like, oh my God, it's amazing. But
you went from 0 to 60 real fast.
Very fast. Real fast.
Definitely want to shout out the fans though.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you guys tuning in every week and just being attentive to it.
And the volume. Yeah. Paul, Rory, everyone.
Shout out Paul. Sure. In the stew right now.
Yep.
Paul's been with this for 15 episodes.
Hit the bottom right. There you go. that's Paul for you guys. Now, we just want to start it off by acknowledging the growth of the podcast. Just want to thank y'all, too. Appreciate y'all tuning in every week, and let's get this thing started. So, first up, talking about Georgia Tech. Real nail-biter. Really, really stuck that one out at the end.
Glad
we pulled away in the second half, but that was obviously a really good game for us, and I'm glad we sent the seniors out that way. And for them, I think it's crazy. Like the whole day, they're probably walking down. Like this is the last time I'm slapping the signs. The last time I'm walking down the field. This is the last time I'm doing all these things, all the pageantry that's involved in Notre Dame game day. And I feel like it's awesome for them to go out that way. Like Myron getting a touchdown, all that stuff.
That was crazy, by the way. I used to have to lateral it. Honestly,
but yeah, I'm so unlocked.
But
no, I'm not unlocked.
Not mine. For me, it was kind of emotional for me because in the hotel, we like for the defense, they called up like 4 to 5, maybe 6 like underclassmen just to talk to the seniors or give like appreciation to the seniors. And I did Tariq Bracey, and talking about that just got me a little bit emotional. Like, geez, this is if he doesn't come back for a fifth year or whatever he does. But this is probably one of the last times I get to play with this group of guys in this stadium and just see the way that we win and the fashion that we won, 55-0, and every single senior got to play.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, geez, that's a great thing to see, I guess.
Yeah,
that was fun.
That was.
In that meeting, talking about the seniors, I feel like this is kind of shifting gears, but we can get back on topic. Like, I feel like us as men and just men in general and football players, like, when you get up and stand and talk about somebody, it feels like a little weird. I feel like we don't give each other like admiration at all. And then like, it's cool to see like people's reactions, like they'll come up to you after and be like, I really appreciated that.
Yeah.
And I feel like we don't really get that interaction at all as college men and just men in general. I think
that's just like male complex. It's like how we're supposed to be. We're not.
It's like you're
talking about,
I'm trying to say the okay way to say this.
Like we don't do compliments like that.
Yeah. Like you're riding somebody if you're giving them compliments. Yeah. But
it's also like football. It's like, you know, physical.
Yeah.
Football.
Like,
everything
strong.
Like, yeah, you just get this emotional when we were talking in the media as well, and Coach Freeman's voice like kind of break, like he was like on a brink of tears because he's talking about sending the seniors off and how he's only been here since the spring and how like it's just been amazing to see how the team comes together and the seniors lead the way that they did. He's like about to cry, and I'm like, sheesh, bro, like all I know, Coach Freeman is like pow, 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 cursing everybody out, yelling, doing this, and then seeing this side of like a grown ass man is just like, sheesh, this is like not what I was ever expecting.
It was cool. Yeah. Like the best part about the game, obviously, was a blowout. So the sideline was like fun. It was relaxed.
Yeah.
It was like everyone's getting in. It wasn't like, oh, if we get this first down, like we're gonna send this guy in. It's like everyone's gonna go in. Like I'm out on the headset, but I heard on the headset, like, coaches were, like, laughing at each other. And, like, having a time. It was, like,
just
a fun,
just,
like, last home game for everybody. I mean, it was just enjoyable to watch, enjoyable to be there. And then, obviously, like, the sentimental stuff, the team. And it's cool for the seniors to be able to stay on the field after the game. And the students, the seniors all stayed and then come down and talk to their buddies and the team. And it's cool. I like how Notre Dame lets the students do that.
I really feel like yesterday was probably
best case scenario. Everything could have panned out.
Yeah,
everything was cool. I mean, it was, I couldn't complain about nothing. I think it was a great day. I think the seniors got sent off well, and then we had some crazy plays on defense too. You had Jack Kaiser, you had Myron, you had, so I mean,
Foskey.
It was a good day all around. I feel like,
honestly, from my perspective, like on the receivers, like there were some athletic dudes, and they were I don't know where.
I just think our front four is just super dominant. On defense, honestly, I think that's what define both sides of the ball. Like our O-line just dominated and then our D-line dominated, and you can't get anything going if your line of scrimmage is, if it wasn't at the line of scrimmage. So
people speak about that in basketball and football, like the difference between like D2 or a lower or mid-major D1 and like a top D1 school is the linemen and I guess the bigs in basketball.
Yeah,
that's probably the biggest difference, because I mean there's athletes all around the world, and those Georgia Tech receivers weren't any worse than any receiver I've seen in this whole year. So
there's some stuff you can't teach, right? Like you just can't teach size. Like you can't teach size.
Yeah.
His Georgia athletes.
they definitely had some good athletes. Their running back was tough. He's a sophomore too. He's tough.
He's a sophomore?
Yeah, he's a sophomore.
How many people do you know on Tech?
Not many. Probably four.
Oh, okay.
I guess I had a DA.
I know a few.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I know
a good amount. Did they recruit Georgia heavy?
See, it's hard for them because they're in Georgia. Not even just Georgia. You're competing with all those SEC schools around you.
Facts.
And it's like you get a good player and they're going to want to go play at all these other schools. But it's in Atlanta. It's a great academic school.
Right school.
Really good school. Like good environment. Like you can have a bunch of stuff going on. But I mean, it's kind of like Vandy. Like Vandy's in Nashville. Great school in the SEC.
Just doesn't get
warm weather. Yeah, it just doesn't happen for some reason. But I mean, they have a lot of potential. I think they really like their coach. So hopefully they get it going soon.
I think they do a good job of recruiting, because they recruited me heavily.
Mm. Damn, you imagine? Imagine Ken in the A.
We'll act the fool in the A. but they did a really good job of recruiting. It was just unattractive because when they recruited me, they're still doing like the triple option stuff.
I'm gonna ask about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's probably still like they're probably still feeling the lasting effects from that.
I forgot what year they got rid of that, but that's weird. I mean, Tech's a good school.
Their O-line also struggled at first because they had to shift from triple option to like actual pass pro and stuff like that. Hopefully they get it going soon, but enough about them. Let's talk about the boys a little bit. Shout out Myron. He got his redemption from the Virginia game our freshman year. He got hawked by the quarterback. This time he scooped in and actually scored, so shout out the boy. That's awesome.
He honestly had that block too.
Yeah, I was about to say, people see Myron scoring, but people don't really see Foskey blocking two people after he got a strip sack.
Yeah. And Jason
just sprinting. Running.
And not doing anything. He told me he blocked somebody. He just whipped the block completely. No. He didn't touch anybody. He
touched him in the back of the shoulder.
Yeah, if anything, it was a block in the back.
Yeah. You'll see the announcer there, like, Myron scored. Took him 10 seconds. I was like, oh man.
You try to hit the
TikTok dance. Got excited because he was like extremely sick last week.
Yeah.
You see him bounce back from that and like throughout the week of practice, still fighting his sickness. And then it all comes together in the week. Nice. Weekend during senior night. And then he like attributed that to his dad.
Yeah.
Or that game to his dad. It was kind of cool. So shout out Myron.
Hopefully he kept that ball. I will always regret not picking up the ball against Clemson when we beat them at home, because the ball is on the ground in front of you, but I was so juiced and just jumping up and down. Bro, I should have just picked up the ball and kept it and brought it in the locker room.
It was Clemson's ball?
Yeah, it was Clemson's ball.
Yeah,
yeah.
You guys think we've played in a game that was that exciting since?
Since Clemson?
Yeah. Anywhere touching it?
No.
Probably not.
No. Florida State was jumping. Florida State was jumping. We're playing at Florida State with 70,000, 80,000 people versus a 10, 12,000 people game. Yeah. That was more exciting.
What about the Bama game?
Bama game was weird, bro.
The Rose Bowl?
I didn't really fuck with it.
No juice. Like, I feel like Alabama fans were even like...
It wasn't a full stadium, right?
I think the rules are a little more lax than Texas.
Yeah. I felt like it was more of a check off the box type thing for the fans. They're like, oh, we're going to Rose Bowl. All right. It's not like about like, I want to go cheer on this team. Like, it's more like,
for the experience. Like, but it wasn't even in the Rose Bowl. It was in Dallas. It should have been in
we had been there
Pasadena
years prior. And
stadium was smooth though.
I felt like an NFL game to me.
Yeah.
Like it didn't feel like a college atmosphere.
Professional.
Facts. Yeah. That's exactly what it felt like. We're acting like we know what NFL games feel like.
No, I'm talking about my go to NFL games, like as a fan. Like that's my not going to like bowl games.
You don't like bowl? I like going there for the week. I think the week's fun.
Yeah, the week's fun. Being in a warm environment coming from South Bend is pretty fun, but there's not like really a tailgate community. It's like 50-50 with the fans. It's kind of weird for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true.
Yes. Neither team really has like home.
Yeah. Home field advantage. Like,
I feel like after the Bama game, we like played the game or whatever, lost obviously. And like, I feel like Bama wasn't even juiced. I feel like we got to midfield, just dapped up. It was like, all right, appreciate y'all. Like, we'll see y'all later. Like,
it was weird. It was weird. They had another game to play, right? You know, for them. And then we were done. So obviously we were not in a great mood, but
job not finished.
I just thought about that, bro.
Job finished.
Job not finished. Thought about that.
Have you seen the Kobe video, Connor? When he's like, "Why aren't you happy? You guys are up
3-1." When he's on like press conference.
Yeah. Coach Freeman showed that in our video or in our meeting. Job finished.
Job not finished. Let's talk about Freeman though. It's kind of crazy. He got like a lot of hate at the beginning of the year because I guess people were still trying to adapt to his philosophy of defense because it's very different from Coach Lee's, and is on the back end, we've given up, what, 9 points in
12 and a half quarters.
Why a half?
I mean, we haven't given up a touchdown.
They probably scored halfway through the fourth or something like that.
Where?
I don't even think like we changed anything. We just played better. Like, we just did the little things better, and that's what he always preached. Like, we were just tackling better. We were communicating. We were running to the ball better. And it's not like we did some complete 180 to our defense. He just beat his philosophies into our head and we accepted it, and now we're playing a lot better at this point.
We're just playing more intentional. There's a difference between like going out there and like knowing your job and knowing what to do, but like actually doing everything to the fullest. Everything. So I feel like we're just playing more intentional. I think that we're playing to our full potential right now. For real.
Me and Cam were talking about this yesterday. We played the backup quarterback for Georgia Tech, backup for Virginia. And
see the Virginia quarterback had 500 yards yesterday.
Crazy.
The backup?
No.
Back Armstrong. He had like 487 yards.
Yeah.
He's back from his ribs.
Yeah.
People say, oh, well, the defense is doing so well because they played backup quarterbacks. Like, how would you guys, from a defensive perspective, like, what would be your response to that?
We have no control over that. We have no control at who they play on their side of ball. We can only come together as a defense and play our best brand of football. So I think that's what we've been doing. And it is so coincidental that we haven't played a starting quarterback in 3 weeks. But I don't think that's changed how we've played. If anything, I think that would hurt us because if we think about it, like we didn't know that UVA's quarterback, we didn't know that he wasn't starting to the kickoff of the game. And then if some people can take that and be like, all right, well, we're playing a backup quarterback and we can chill out a little bit. Like,
yeah.
We don't have to play a quarterback that's going to throw for 500 yards and 3 touchdowns and run all over the field and do this, that, and third. We can chill, but we didn't do that. We continued to play our best brand of football. We didn't allow that to become a distraction, which Coach Kelly, he kind of harped on that before the game and after game. And I think that's just attributed to our like maturity and Coach Freeman's like mentality. Like, it doesn't really matter who we're playing. It doesn't matter the score. It doesn't matter anything. We got to play our best brand of football. We haven't finished the job yet.
I kind of look at it a little different. I feel like, I can understand the argument behind that. But, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, you know what I'm saying, not playing a starting quarterback doesn't make a big difference. It does, I feel like, for most teams. But especially UVA, because, that was their guy. But still being able to hold teams without scoring a touchdown, you know what I'm saying? 9 points.
We're talking about. Extremely hard.
That's still extremely hard, regardless of who's playing quarterback, regardless of if it's, whether it's a backup starter or anything. So, yeah, we're playing the backup, and I understand that. And I think in the Navy game, it was our doing, because, I mean, I think we hurt the starter.
Yeah.
So I think it should still be looked at as an accomplishment, because it's still hard to do. You know what I'm saying? Especially college. Like, these dudes on scholarship, too. Like, I know he's a backup, but he's still on scholarship. Like, he's still a player, so you know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's definitely hard to do, and it's definitely an accomplishment.
I wasn't saying that as like a knock, obviously. I was just wanting to hear what you guys were thinking about the backup quarterback thing.
No, don't pull it back.
I was thinking that towards you.
No, I know.
I was aiming that towards people who thought that way. Out of those three games, didn't we cause 2 missed field goals?
Yeah, we blocked one yesterday, and then Virginia went one. He actually went to my high school.
Sorry about it.
I just want to point out the fact that the quarterback's name is Armstrong, and he plays quarterback. I just realized it. I just want to touch on that for a second.
Let that marinate.
That's an NIL deal.
You'll let that marinate.
Armstrong with the strong arm.
Arm and hammer.
The lefty.
John Foy. The strong arm. The insurance company.
Bro, what are you talking about?
All right.
What is that?
Well, I don't know what that is, bro.
I don't even know what that is.
I just want to point that out. That's pretty cool. But talking about the offense, because obviously the offense is improving too. Like, they've been playing really well the past few games. Or been playing awesome, like lights out, like running game, passing game, everything's clicking. How do you think, like, has anything changed philosophically, or how do you think we've approached preparation different?
I mean, from the offensive perspective, we haven't really changed much. Obviously, we've gotten a lot better, and like, there were changes made in terms of like game plans and stuff, like week to week, but our preparation has stayed the same. The captains on offense have really stepped up, even with Avery being down. Like, obviously, everyone's still involved because it was a new offense. It was a new quarterback. It was a new O-line. Like, obviously, Kyron came back, but like, receivers got banged up here and there, so you got to make new game plans for them. But I think at the end of the day, it just, when Coach Reese said this, he's like, in our team meeting with the offense, he's like, Joe Walt, you're not like a freshman anymore. Like, you're the starting left tackle for the Notre Dame football team. Like, you can't be like, oh, this is like a cool experience I'm playing. It's like, no, you prepare, like, you're playing. You're going to play the game. Like, you're the left tackle.
Right.
But like, the same thing to Zoe, Diggs, all those guys. And we have a lot of young guys playing. And I think once all those guys got past the fact, like, oh, I just want to play, instead of like, I have to play and do my job for us to win, we really started to pick it up as an offense. And I think, you know, that's kind of what has led us to improve, or just kind of really show who we are, like who we knew we were going to be, you know?
Yeah. I think the potential on that side of this ball specifically is crazy. Like, and we were just talking about last week how injuries, they're bad, obviously, like with my situation, but like Ramon and X and all of them coming in, like they're going to be great too. But Blake goes down first game. And we're like trying to figure out what's going to work, offensive line, this and that. And then Joel gets a shot. We find out he's really good. Really, he's going to be a really good player. So next year, I don't know who's going to start for sure. We'll see what happens. Yeah. But I mean, now you know that you have Joel Alt. You know that you have Blake. And now you can play 2 really good
sophomores.
Yeah, exactly. And still have.
I didn't think about that.
And Stauff has played.
Yeah,
so
Stauff
well.
Has played great too.
I should have mentioned that. Stauff came in our line as best. Like, he's done really well.
Yeah. Shout out Andrew Kristoffic. But it's just like stuff like that. And now we're sitting back next year. Like, we already kind of have a blueprint of what we're going to look like, and just opportunities like that. Because who knows where Joe Alt would have been? He probably wouldn't have played until maybe next year.
Yeah. That kind of attributes to what you were saying as well. Like, being a freshman, being a redshirt sophomore or redshirt freshman, and not playing up until a certain point, you don't have the confidence to go out there and be like, all right, I can dominate.
Yeah.
Your whole idea is, let me not mess up. Let me execute. Let me do my job. Let me be in the right place at the right time. There's so much anxiety going on in your head that you don't really understand. Like, one, football is not changing. You've been playing football for 20 years in your life. 2, I mean, obviously, your job is to do your job, but also to dominate. We aren't at like a mediocre school, not to brag about it, but we want great things. We want to win a national championship. We want to be 12-0 and things of that sort. So it's not like a mediocre mindset, like just to do your job.
Like, you're starting. We're trusting you to start. We know you're going to put us in the best position to win.
Yeah.
Go do that. Don't worry about, oh, like I'm playing.
Yeah.
Like just, you're good enough to play. We learned that. And now you got to show who you are. And I think it's cool to see that.
I feel like a lot of players think like that.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get past that.
Past that. I definitely thought
I
like mean, that.
Yeah.
I think we all have. And once you get over that hump, like I can dominate, then things just start getting better for you. And it's like crazy.
So when you start playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think even like Audric yesterday, probably his confidence probably skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
He so tried much. To jump over the hurdle.
I saw him in the Goog after and I was like, boy, if you ever leave the ground again, you are 240. Look at yourself. Look in the mirror and go run over somebody. Like, I was like, you're not Diggs' size. Like,
dude, that started in practice when he tried to hurt somebody in the A-gap.
Yeah, like, bro.
Yeah, he's OD. But that's the thing, though. He got in there yesterday. He had a shot. I mean, he did well. Like, he ran the clock for us. Like, I think he probably had, like, what, 50 yards rushing?
Probably. Yeah,
like, a few carries. 60, so, I mean,
it's six carries, like, 61 yards.
I genuinely think we can go 22 deep on both sides of the ball.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts. If we had to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got enough numbers. I mean, our receivers are pretty banged up right now. But, I mean, if we were all healthy, I feel like we could genuinely be 22
y'all deep. Y'all think teams who can play 22 deep, that just makes them a lot better? Because I think about Georgia. Well, not better than us. I'm just saying, in general, like, Georgia, they're no one team in the country right now. They have a ton of depth.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to get tired. Like, something you're saying, they don't have to get tired. When they're banged up, they can rotate and things of that sort. And there's teams who are limited and they can't really do that, which probably perceives them to be worse.
No,
they actually are.
I think that definitely helps because you can, I mean, you're trying to give your all every single play, but at the end of the game, when it's your 70th snap and like against Florida State, like I had sloppy reps at the end of the game just because I was dead tired. And if you can play 30 snaps and then you and somebody else can switch off, you both are really fresh, like maybe switch drives every other drive, then. Mm-hmm. And the whole, like Coach Elson says that before the game, it's like rally groups, be ready. Like everybody's going to be fresh. Nobody's going to be tired. And that's probably helps our front four be so dominant because everybody's going against a tired O-line. And you just get a whole new wave for guys who are hungry coming in trying to get some sacks. So I think that definitely helps for sure.
Competition for sure. Like friendly competition with like with your own teammates, right? Like I'm going to try my best for these snaps that I'm giving. I know the guy behind me is like, you know, maybe just as good as me, right? And so I want to, I feel like some teams that aren't as deep, and this could be wrong, I feel like some of those guys, you know, may not go 100% every single snap. One, because they're tired, but two, the person behind them is not as good, so they know they're not going to get taken out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that might not be true for, and I don't want to speak for anyone, but I feel like if you're on a team like Notre Dame, Georgia, Alabama, and you have guys behind you that are, you know, good, kind of like the AAU thing you were talking about.
Yeah.
That could, like, surpass you. You gotta, you're forced to go 100%. I think, and that, therefore, makes the team better in and of itself.
What I think of, as this just came to my mind, the bubble finals, when Jimmy Butler, game one, I don't know if you guys, like, watched this, but game one, he's, the picture of him, he's dead tired. He had, like, 40 points or something, like, snapped game one.
Mm.
But then game two, three, four of the finals, like, he just kind of faded away because he just wasted all his energy, and he was their main player. Like, nobody else was really doing much, and the team just dwindled after that. So there's like a picture of him like head down after he got fouled, like about to pass out during the game. And it was game one when he played really well, but then the game's falling, he couldn't do it again because he's just tired. But he just didn't do as much in the rest of the series. And I think that translates to all team sports. And I mean, that's just an example.
During camp, we're doing like a team period, and this is the point in time when we're like, which Coach Mickens, like, we're going to get 8 solid reps with you, and then you're going to get 8 solid reps with the next group and things of that sort. So it's not like, well, there wasn't any starters at this point,
right?
I would say everybody's trying to get meaningful reps. But on the other side, I'm guarding, like, Kev, he runs a go. Next play, Deion goes in, he runs a go. So Brandon comes in, and then he runs it out. And then they're, like, rotating. I'm like, I'm running, like, 50, 60 yards every play. That's crazy.
I see that sometimes. Like, they'll run a couple goes, and I'll see you guys. I'm like, man, I feel bad.
Bro, it's bad.
Like, you couldn't even rotate. We just had 3 different guys run a go.
And you don't even feel that in the game. I guess that's why we do it at practice, because you don't feel that hurt in the game, but happy at practice hurting, bro.
I feel like I just always think of Florida State, how hurt I was that game. You were 90? Hurt too.
Oh, I was hurt. I was crampy too.
Yeah, you were hurt.
I was hurt. It was hot, bro.
Yeah. But I think it prepares us. Like, that's one of the few times that in my college career that I felt like I'm about to have to collapse on this field right now. It was also it was also like 92 degrees though.
It was humid.
Yeah, it's humid.
That's crazy. Like, that was the first game. Kind of talk about how the season went by so fast.
Yeah.
So fast.
You gotta touch on that. How it's already 12th game, already bowl season.
The last
season. Crazy.
Yeesh.
But like,
like every week, it's not like the same way in high school. You're like, all right, you know, I want to get to, let's get past the hard days. Let's get past Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday's not too bad. Let's get to Friday.
Right? Yeah, not too bad.
Let's get to Friday. And then once it's Friday, you're like, okay. And then like Sunday.
Yeah.
Facts. Yeah. Let's just get to the weekend. And you're like, that's like.
Friday's so dreadful for me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
We have so many meetings, bro.
So many.
Yeah. Not, I meant like physical.
Physical, yeah. Physical work, yeah.
But it's, and it's different for me, but like I don't have all those meetings, but it's just, it's hard not to want to get to the weekend. And then you do that, and now we're on the 15th.
Well, yeah.
Week of this.
And in season, we get in such a routine that's just like, we just put our head down and just work.
Football school for the fall.
And just the whole, whatever, how many months, and you just look up and it's January.
January.
Do you think that's kind of contradicting to what we said first or second episode when we were like, this semester, we're going to like try our best to like take in every day and appreciate every day.
Yeah.
We said that?
We're like, yeah. We're like, we're taking this Notre Dame experience for granted. So we're like, we're walking around campus more.
We did say that.
We're going to talk to more people, but it's kind of hard.
It's hard.
Because we haven't done it, honestly.
What makes y'all feel like y'all haven't done that, though?
Like, I fell into the same trap that I had the last 3 years. Is football school, routine. Football school, home, sleep, football school,
yeah,
sleep.
Definitely.
There's definitely some days where I definitely do that, but I feel like a way that I've been able to get rid of that feeling is just kind of like, I know it sounds hella goofy, but I've been trying to say that I have the opportunity to do such and such instead of I have to do stuff. Like, I get to do this. I get to,
way of thinking.
I guess, yeah, way of thinking or like approach to things. I've always been saying like, I get to do this. I get to do this. I have the opportunity to do this. So, I don't know. Brings a little joy to it, a little happiness to it.
I feel like that definitely applies to some things, but it's hard for me to be like, I got the opportunity to write this essay.
No, there's definitely some things. There's definitely some things where I'd be like, damn, I have to do this. But I mean, for the most part, this semester, I've been trying to be like, yeah, I get to do this. I get to go to the practice today. I get to go. Even just being sick this week, not being able to go to practice Tuesday, I was kind of, it felt really weird, like not going to practice. I was like,
that was the weird, like,
what the hell?
That shit's weird.
I'm in a house by myself. Everybody else is at practice. I was like, bro, I need to go, bro.
I almost had a mental breakdown 2 weeks ago. Like, I was in the house and I'm on my phone. And I'm like, I check my screen time. It's like 3.5 hours, something like that. I'm like, bro, I feel like
a lame, bro.
I'm just sitting there. I don't care how sick I am,
bro. What's up is I needed some, and I called one of y'all, and I'm like, these motherfuckers at practice. Like, what is going on?
Bro, Do you think if you just took us out of football right now, you would have withdrawals?
Like, I'll have a mental breakdown.
Like a crack.
Not even from the fact that you're not playing the sport that you love, but it's just like, this is such a big part of your life. Right, you just take it out.
The routine.
Yeah,
when we go on breaks, like not just from school, like football too, like it's weird, right?
It's like I need it back.
You're like,
I need structure.
Oh, for real though.
I feel that all the time because like when I'm home and like we're home and this time when we're supposed to be relaxing, like this is our break. I sleep in and I'm like, yo, I need to work out. Like this is when I'm supposed to be relaxing because I just worked out for 14, 18 weeks or something like that. And I'm like, bro.
If I sit around all day at home on a break, I'm like, I feel like weird.
Just collecting dust.
That. I'm like, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be working out. I should be whatever, getting ahead and some other stuff.
You know? I think that's a bad thing or a good thing?
I think that's a wonderful thing.
I think it's a good thing.
Once we are done with football, then we're going to feel like we have to be productive and put our time into something else.
What's up? Would you say we're hyper productive though?
I would say so for sure. I feel it's a good thing to be. I mean, if you can handle it, why be mediocre when you can be hyper productive?
Like Notre Dame, one of the places that helps you do that, you know, in all aspects. Like, you have to do it. It's not like school's easy. You know?
School ain't easy.
Speaking of time off, we got Stanford next week, obviously. And obviously, it's Thanksgiving week. And with college football and the scheduling, like, you don't get Thanksgiving how you usually would, like, with your family going home or whatever. Connor takes a long trek back to Granger, Indiana, but he doesn't get that opportunity, man.
It's wild with BJ.
Nah, but
30-second flight.
What are y'all's thoughts like during the holiday season when we don't get to be with our families? Because I remember my freshman year when we were at the Camping World Bowl and we practiced on Christmas. And
it was a Wednesday practice too.
Yeah, it was a Wednesday. I wake up. I was rooming with Aloy Gilman. He rooms over me. He looks over at me and goes, "Merry Christmas." And I was like, "Bro, you just ruined my day."
Shut the hell up.
Bro, we're like on the bus going to the practice, and I'm like dead ass about to cry looking at the window. I'm like, bro, this is my first Christmas not with my family. Like, yeah. This is
Coach awful. Kelly's like, where would you rather be? I'm like, a lot of places,
bro. I will send you the address right now.
and all the coaches are on my head. Like, I had a horrible practice because I was just in my feelings. And I was like, we get back, and I'm like, bro, that was a tough Christmas day. So, like, have y'all had any experience?
Yeah, I definitely experienced that freshman year. I was kind of like sick because like Christmas was like something that really brought my family together. I get to see cousins and uncles and people I haven't seen in a while. And that was the first time I didn't get that experience. Mm-hmm. But I think last year, especially, started to forget about it. And then this year, it doesn't even feel like Thanksgiving is coming up. Like, yeah. I'm like blind to even holidays at this point. It's kind of bad, but I don't know. My family, or the people watching my family, surprised me yesterday at the game. They told me they weren't going to come for my birthday. And just that surprise was just like, I don't even know how to react to that. Like family time like that and just like stuff like that, because I just never, I haven't been around that in 3 years.
Right.
So when I think about holidays, it's just like, oh, I have practice.
Yeah, I have football.
To me, I was sick freshman year. I was really sick, actually. Like, I remember Thanksgiving. Shout out Coach Light. But I remember I asked him, I was like, yo, can I go home for Thanksgiving? Because I had redshirted at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd used my 4 games or whatever. And I'm like, I'm trying to go home. And he's like, you're not going home for Thanksgiving. I was like, what? That's sick. But I mean, you know what I've realized, though? Like, being in college, I feel like because of the fact that we missed so many holidays, I kind of feel like how you feel as far as, like, I don't really feel the holidays coming up or whatever. But I also feel like, you know, why does it have to be a holiday for me to cherish my family?
Yeah.
Or like be involved in like my community and like my family and like Fair. What's going on. Like, yeah. I feel like it shouldn't have to come down to a day and the fact that I'm missing a day when there's 365 days a year. So yeah. It's like whenever I get an opportunity, whether it's a regular, just a day in October, like, I don't know, it doesn't matter. It just, I feel like I need to start cherishing those moments more because you never know when you're going to miss them. So that's how I be feeling about it. Yeah, and also the food, though, is crazy.
Crazy. That's what I miss, bro.
Crazy, bro.
Crazy, bro.
Crazy. I miss my grandma's food so much, bro.
Plate filled up, bro. That's when I'm getting my pals, bro. That's when I'm getting my pals for freshman year. Nice. I came back big, bro.
Big body?
I came back like 210, bro.
No, you did not.
On me.
210?
Yes, bro.
I mean, as Kyle mentioned, my experience with holidays is a little different as my home is like 10 minutes away. But yeah, I mean, usually for Thanksgiving, I'm able to go home, but we'll have like a team meal for Thanksgiving. So I'll go home for like the day after. Mm-hmm. You came home.
Mm-hmm.
You came there. I think, was it freshman year?
It was freshman year. Yeah.
Freshman year. Because you guys are both.
Nice dinner. Nice dinner at your place.
I definitely get lucky, very lucky to be able to see my family and everyone for like holidays and Christmas freshman year was tough because, I mean, obviously we all were not right. home. But growing up, because my dad worked for like the team growing up, we were always like kind of gone for Christmas a lot because the bowl games are always kind of around Christmas.
Right.
We've had a lot of Christmases. I know Thanksgiving was the question, but like we've had a lot of Christmases like in hotels and stuff. We just kind of made the most out of it, like wherever you are. And so being close to home is nice. Like, and if you guys are able to come home, you know, like for Christmas last year, you guys were able to.
I spent the whole Christmas weekend with you guys. Yeah. I kind of felt like a burden, a lie. I was like,
my mom wanted all of you guys to stay over.
Yeah. Mm. And they were great welcoming. But it was just kind of like, you don't really get that time with your family much.
Yeah.
Because of football.
Well, I'm home. So actually, facts. I do, you know, but.
Got you. While we're on the topic, just I want to shout out the coaches too, because they're making the same sacrifice we are, but probably on a bigger level because their families come down to the bowl site. And I remember it was Christmas Eve in the Cave River Bowl, and then Coach Taylor's son's walking with Coach Taylor's wife, and I'm walking behind them, and his son's like, "Mommy, what's like Santa gonna bring to us tomorrow?" And I'm like I know his family. He doesn't want to have his family in Orlando. They want to be at home, like on Christmas, but they're making the same sacrifice that we are. So, and that's probably tougher than it is on us having like kids, a wife, and taking them from where they want to be. So the bowl site, wherever that is, who knows? But yeah, that's gotta be tough. And I commemorate them for that.
Christmas in Orlando isn't that bad, though.
That's true.
That's true.
That's a good thing.
That is true.
Hello, this is Rory, the editor of Inside the Garage podcast. Just a quick disclaimer for any parents that may be listening to this podcast within earshot of their child. The guys are about to say some unsavory things about Santa Claus and other magical beings that your child may not want to hear. So if you are in that category, or if you are Santa Claus yourself, I would recommend just tapping out of the podcast at this point, because it gets a little rough from here.
We would always say, oh, like Santa, like we would leave on the 22nd. Oh, Santa's coming early. Santa's coming on like 3 days. So we would like have Reese like write a letter asking him to come early. And so he celebrated like 3 days early, you know.
Does she still believe in Santa?
Reese is funny.
Well, Santa's real. But yeah, he does.
Damn.
But dang.
Did I just, wait.
Yeah. Hold on. We might have to edit that.
I don't think anybody's that youngest listens to this podcast.
We're definitely not going to get this far in the podcast. Reese, you're going to start doing some other stuff when you get to this point.
Reese, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Reese is Connor's little sister, but
she's a little.
Come on now.
Lock in.
Come on now. How old is your sister, bro?
She's 11.
Yo, what?
She's 11. Yeah, I don't know. I think that age.
That's about where I stopped.
I think that's probably close.
I think I was 9.
Wait, before y'all stopped.
I was pretty young. I think I found out my mom like was rapping.
I was like 6, bro. 5,
you,
really?
You want to know how I found out? My mom got me a gift. Santa got me a gift. And I'm playing with it like the day after and I break it. And my mom snapped. She was like, that was so expensive. Like, Kyle, like, you got to be more careful. And I'm like, I thought Santa got this for me.
Dang.
She's like, dang. She was like, sit down, son. I got to talk to you about Santa.
My parents have never admitted Santa's not real.
Really?
Well, that's, I was like, funny. I'm not going to do it.
That's funny.
your parents owned it. I was hella young. Probably 6.
What's the biggest lie your parents told you?
Biggest lie?
Other than Santa.
I can't really think of it right now. I'm trying to.
It might still be lying to me.
Parents be lying like shit.
Any capping?
Any capping, bro?
Any capping? They have to though. Sometimes they have to.
Grace's parents used to tell her that something about Wonder Bread and wheat bread, and how like Wonder Bread makes you like wonderful, or something like something crazy about the wheat bread, or something like that, and how you should eat wheat bread. I don't know what it was, but she believed it all the way up until she was in high school.
And she always ate wheat bread.
Yeah, so something like that. Yeah,
but for me, it's probably the light in the car. You know, talking about like, you know,
it's gonna be illegal. Like,
turn that light off, man, before the. You know
what I'm like, why?
Turn it off. I'm like, bro, what? How does the light get us pulled over?
I'll probably say kind of the same thing. You know, when you're at an intersection and you can see the other light change, and like people like blow at the light that you're waiting at, and it'll turn green because they know it's about to change. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I've never done that. Yeah.
So like you look at the intersection going this way, and it's like yellow, it turns red. So that means this one's about to turn green. So my mom's like, Kyle, watch, I'm magical. Like blow at the light, it'll turn green. And I'm like,
that's crazy.
Oh God.
And then one day I figured it out and I was like, damn, you liar.
This is more like stupid for me for believing this, but my parents. You know when you're driving behind someone, you're like, damn, this person's only going 20 miles an hour because you're going the same speed as them.
Yeah.
My mom used to tell me that she could like see into their like speedometer, see how fast they're going. And I just was like, how do you possibly see to see how fast they're going?
Kids are so dangerous. So kids believe anything.
Anything, bro.
Literally anything.
So
kids believe
though.
That there's a fairy that comes down, takes your tooth from under your pillow, and leaves you bread.
Bro.
Come on, dude. You're not gonna wake up.
That's OG. That
might be the worst one.
I never woke up when my mom did that.
Yeah, I didn't either somehow.
I don't think my parents did that when I was asleep. I think they just did it like
during the day.
Before. Yeah.
But I used to always check.
For real?
Yeah. Before I go to bed, like, make a cozy. Like, oh my God. You just got it night.
Bro, I don't know what it is about me, but I've never just been like overly into stuff like that. Ever since I was little. Like,
that's weird because you were the firstborn too. I could see like the next ones because like they got older siblings and ruined it for them, but
just never been overly into it. I mean, like I kind of actually I'm tripping because I used to before I realized Santa Claus wasn't real when I was like 5 or 6, but I was like probably 3 or 4. I had like a Scooby-Doo tent and I'd pop it up in front of the tree like in our little living room.
Probably difficult.
And I'd sleep in the living room, bro, because I'd be like, bro, I'm gonna be camping while you're here. I'm gonna be right here. And then, yeah.
You always fall asleep, would you?
Right? I get, yeah, I'd be knocked out.
Yeah. What's the biggest lie you told your parents when you were a kid?
I don't even know if I can say this on here.
Like, dude, they know about it.
Yeah,
I told a stupid lie. Oh, you don't want to do it?
I don't think I can say that.
My kid lies are probably like better than like my teenage lies. Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
bro, we were living in an apartment at this point, and my mom got me like this new like race car track. It had like a fire wheel and all that stuff, but it was fake fire. And me being the little daredevil I was, I set the ring on fire with the lighter and like let my cars go through it. But I'm 6 years old, so I don't know how to put the fire out. So I put the ring in a trash can. Old trash can burst to flames. The apartment smoke detector's going. My mom and I were just talking about this, but the apartment smoke detector's going off. So my sister's in the living room, and it's a living room and a kitchen. So it's like really connected, but my sister isn't doing anything. So my mom runs out, puts the trash can outside. She's like, so like clustered. The fire extinguisher was right next to the trash can. But she puts it outside. She asks my sister, can she go get some water so she can put it out? My sister brought out like, much water. So we're trying to do it. We finally get it out. So my mom's like, what are you doing? So she sees that I was playing on the thing, and she sees that I set the little ring on fire, and she was like, what did you do? So apparently she had told me at one point that batteries can get on fire if like something like that. So I'm coming out with this elaborate, just like, see, I was trying to put the batteries in the thing, like they caught on fire. She's just looking at me like, bro, you're capping. Like, you know, the lighter is out. Yeah. So it's just all types of weird stuff.
I always know. My mom always be like, I was a kid too. Like, I lied too. Like, at one time, I wasn't a kid, but I was like 16, grounded. And Reese, actually, shout out Reese, who's here right now, my girlfriend. I was grounded, so I couldn't like use the whip. And my mom had left, and my car was still there. So I take the car, not supposed to be driving, I take the car, go meet Reese to get some like froyo or something like that. And I pay with my debit card. I'm stupid for that. I left the paper trail. I already got caught for that.
Paper trail.
I know.
Paper trail.
And I get back, try to park it exactly where it was. I'm chilling. When she gets home, she grabs my keys, goes in the car, and like starts it. And the gas is like, my mom's like that. Like, she'll like, the gas is lower. She's like, watch the gas lower, Kyle. I'm like,
jeez, you know what it is.
I'm like, I didn't know what car you was going to use. So I wanted to go warm up the car for you. And I warmed it up for you.
Boy, damn well you ain't warm up that car, boy.
I'm like, that was the dumbest thing.
Damn well you ain't warm up that car.
So I was grounded for longer.
I'm trying to think. Bro,
I feel like Connor has a great story, bro.
Connor,
I know one in Connor.
I would lie to my parents, and they would have my location, and like they would be like, "You are probably the dumbest person I've ever met." Oh yeah, my parents' house. So, like, you're not.
Like, you're literally not.
Like Life 360.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so you y'all like, had that?
Like, I never had that. I didn't either. I felt so bad for my friends who had that. Yeah. Like my friends, we would go out somewhere we weren't supposed to be. Like our parents didn't know where we were, like just sneaking out. And my boy would bring an iPad to sleepovers.
I was just going
to
say, people at parties with iPads, bro. Yeah. You'd be like, bro, what are you doing?
He would bring an iPad to the sleepover, have Live 360 on there, leave the iPad, and then turn his phone. Like he did something with his phone. Want to show up, but the iPad would show up, so he would be at our house, air quotes, but not really be there.
I don't know why I was like this in high school. My parents would have probably told you this, but I would have just gotten in trouble the week before, and I'd be like, you know what, I'll just figure it out, and then I would get yelled at. My parents like, you never apologize, you never do this stuff, you just do it over. And I don't understand what you're doing. I'm like, thinking back to now, I'm like, I would do the same thing. Like I would just like lie. Like, we can see who you are. You're not even trying to hide it. I'm like, I just thought I would just figure it out the next day. I'm like,
if my family had Life 360, I probably would have just got to the point where I'd be like, Mom, I'm on bullshit. I'd be like, Mom, I don't care about this app. Like, I'm gonna do what I do. Like, you gonna see it.
I couldn't get around it, so I was like, I'm sorry.
Apologize. Couldn't get around it. Bro, I was just, y'all know me. I just be I always have good intentions, but I just be doing dumb shit sometimes, bro. So that was what I was doing.
I was just like a little dumb asshole. I spent so much time in my room and like time out.
I kind of want a kid like that though.
I would spend so much time in my room that my mom got to a point where my mom would stack up on me for dinner. So I would like coordinate times where I would sneak out like the window and go play with my friends at like 10 years old. Like go play with my friends, try to come back and hurry up and sneak back in. I was wild, bro.
That's wild, funny, bro.
All right, moving on to Outside the Garage. Our first question comes from Kelly Gorman. What are some of your essentials, aka three things you can't live without? Shout out GQ. I don't know if you guys have seen these videos.
It's like what I keep on me or just like daily life?
Oh, no, I got something. A hat. Obviously, I wear a hat every day. I would say chapstick always. I have like 4 or 5 chapsticks in my backpack. I always keep a charger on me.
Phone?
Yeah, I always keep a charger on me, but
I'll take note of that.
You say, in my car?
I say, and your whip.
What do you mean?
Always keep a charger on you.
Oh, facts.
You know
me? Facts.
For those who don't know, Cam has a charger. So pat me on the back for that bar. The things I can't live without. My PS5, for sure, my PS5. Lotion and like the shea butter, cocoa butter lotion, for sure. Third one's new, my iPad. Shout out Connor. Connor put me onto the iPad. That's probably the best purchase I ever made in my life.
I'll probably say my laptop. Yeah. I'll just try to keep my laptop on me.
For me, definitely some type of moisturizer for my hair. Definitely need that every day. I probably use it every day. And then I'd probably say
you always pick on you, bro.
A pick. Well, yeah, when I but I mean, I'll definitely try to say like chapstick. I try to keep it on me all the time.
Get that thing on me.
Laptop be a good one.
What about that bracelet?
It's something my grandma gave me, so
I thought you wear that all the time.
Yeah, I just wear it a lot.
Well, I guess I always wear these. I was gonna say chapstick. I always like to have like a water, like some drink with me, like in my backpack or something, like in my Gatorade bottle or something to, I don't know,
something to sip on.
Yeah, like in my car. I don't know.
Someone take the edge off.
And then I was going to say, like, my laptop. Like, I would like to have my laptop wherever I go.
How would you spend your first $1 million is the next question from Connor's Mimi. Shout out Connor's Mimi.
Mimi.
Me, I would probably buy my loved ones something. Not something to spend it all, but maybe $200,000 on buying people things and just buying things. And I'd probably invest the rest.
Fair. It says a mil, right?
Yeah.
Assuming that I will have not just $1 million, but more. I'll probably upgrade my car, probably get a new charger or a Jeep, something I've always wanted.
Yeah.
They can go pay off my mom's house, pay that off. And then I would try to like start like an investment account or something like that for my nieces. So when they go to college or if they go to like expensive high school or something like that.
Yeah. Nice. I would put a bunch of stuff, like put a bunch of money away, like med school. I think I'm gonna get like a nice watch. Like I want like a nice
like
watch.
A Rolly? Like an AP, like a
the Buzna.
Richard Mille.
I feel like that might be too expensive.
You're capping too. Right. You're capping.
Okay, I'm gonna get my Cuban link. That's gonna be my one hood rich purchase. Is a bust down Cuban link, fat Cuban on my neck.
It's a fat
one.
I'll probably pay off any debts or anything for my loved ones. Grandma, mom, dad. Anybody's brother, sister. I hope they don't got no debts yet, but you know, they're younger. But
your brother in ninth grade.
I need 100 racks, please.
100 racks right now.
But that, and then I'd definitely upgrade my car. I'd definitely get like a Hellcat. Probably.
Yeah,
I'd probably get a Hellcat.
That's very fitting.
Yeah, and then the rest of it, I'll probably invest or maybe like real estate, like crypto, anything like that. So yeah, that's probably what I would do.
It's good to see that. In our essentials, we take care of our bodies. And then with our money, we take care of our family.
Facts.
Been raised right, man.
Look at that.
Look at us, man.
Episode 15, man. The whoop is paid off. Damn.
We're going to wrap it up there. Appreciate you guys tuning in again. Just getting to touch on, we really appreciate you supporting us every single week and hope to keep this thing going for a while. So
stay tuned.
Y'all.
Merch is dropping soon.
Go follow the Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Everything, MySpace, all that stuff,
MySpace.
Tinder,
Yeah, don't, you won't catch us on there. Maybe Connor, but not.
All right, appreciate y'all.
Appreciate it.
Have a nice day.